What if you could measure your employer brand as a single number? What if you could track it over time? We do that. It's called the Employer Brand Index. Continuously measuring what's positive and negative about you as an employer from a candidate perspective is the key. The Employer Brand Index helps you measure your employer brand and validates your perceptions or draw up a few surprises, both good and bad. The Employer Brand Index works best when done over time to see how things are changing. Some companies use it as a baseline before they launch their EVP. Others add in some talent competitors to see how they stack up. Stay on top of your employer brand. Go to employerbrandindex.co to learn more.
Hey, sans Vason, it's Jorgen Sundberg here with the Employer Branding Podcast by Link Humans, London's employer branding agency. You ready for a long-haul flight? We're heading all the way down to Australia today, and we're going to talk to a travel company who's taken a slightly different approach to developing EVP and done a great job in activating this both internally and externally. Let's start the show. Hey, Daria, how are you?
Hey, Jorgen, I'm fantastic, thanks. How about yourself?
Fabulous, thank you so much. So tell our listeners who you are, what you do, and what brings you on the podcast.
Yeah, sure. So obviously my name's Dario Paolini. I look after the employer brand for Flight Centre Travel Group in Australia. For your listeners who don't know Flight Centre Travel Group, it's one of the world's largest travel agency groups. We have around 30 of our own brands operating in 23 countries. We also have a really large corporate travel network, which spans more than 90 countries. Altogether, globally, there's 19,000 employees and a total of 2,800 businesses. So pretty large organization and too large for me to look after by myself. So I look after the Australian region, which is it's about 10,000 employees in our region.
Great. So the Flight Centre, I know the Flight Centre here from London, from the people booking their long-haul flights or going backpacking or Australians going home over Christmas. What are some of the other brands that the Flight Centre trades under that some of our listeners may be familiar with?
Sure. I mean, obviously, as you mentioned, UK, we have Flight Centre there. In the USA, we're probably more known as Liberty Travel. Some other parts of the world where Flight Centre actually does operate is also Canada, South Africa, and New Zealand. We've got around 150 stores in each of those regions. And we have a presence in mainland China and Hong Kong, a small presence, about 30 stores, and also some in the UAE. Other brands that we have, particularly in Australia, that my team is working with are Student Flights, which is obviously a student-oriented travel brand, Corporate Traveller, FCM, they're both our corporate brands. We have Travel Associates, which is a premium travel brand, Travel Club, which is it's a leisure offer for corporate clients. So yeah, there's quite a few, depending on where in the world you are, your listeners may or may not have heard of them, but certainly a large presence globally.
Sounds like you got our back for any travel needs. All right, so tell us about your talent strategy over there. What are you up against?
Look, one of the biggest challenges that we've faced with, particularly with our recruitment teams up until this point, has been an addiction to volume. So all of our recruitment marketing to date, before we had sort of looked at our employer brand, was focused on driving additional volume. And for a large retailer like us, that represents a huge risk, particularly for our consumer brand. We noticed that as a result of this large volume of applications that we were continually going for, we were delivering a poor candidate experience due to the speed at which we need to process all those applications. And for a brand like ours, that's a risk because those candidates are also our customers and we're turning them away each month in a pretty poor experience. Really where we're at right now is taking a step back and trying not to be addicted to volume and looking at what our best converting channels are and investing in our employer brand and content marketing through those channels to attract fewer applicants that we know will convert higher at a higher rate and therefore turn away fewer of those applicants who are also our customers. So really right now it's stepping away from volume and stepping towards quality. The other really big thing for us right now is our reputation as an employer. Flight Centre is a brand that people love to hate. You know, when you, and I think that's probably a common problem for many of the world's big brands. You know, once they reach a certain level of success, there's people out that don't enjoy seeing that. So we get our fair share of controversy as an employer, particularly over the years that have gone by. by. But we also have a really strong and passionate group of people who work for us. And I think that's one of the things that with an employer brand is it can't be everything to all people. And we're proud of that. We don't have an employer brand that suits everyone. So we're at the point in time where we're trying to harness the strength of our workforce and the people who love working here and use that with employee engagement to balance the views in our online review platforms, as well as having a response strategy in place for those reviews that we are getting from people who weren't so happy with their experience working for us.
Tell us about the strategy and perhaps also go into your EVP and see what that contains.
Yeah, sure. So not too long ago, we went through the process of defining our employer brand. And for us, that looked like a period of 10 months with a number of workshop sessions, which we brought in an external marketer to facilitate those for us. So his name's Mark Ritson. Some people know him in the marketing world. He's a writer for Marketing Week magazine and a professor in a few of the business schools that do MBA programs. And Mark came in and ran sessions with our recruitment marketing team and leaders from departments in our business, essentially educating all of us on the value of an employer brand and exactly what employer branding is, and then gaining input from each department on what was important to them and their people needs, and taking us all on a journey towards a data-driven approach to formulating a strategy for our employer brand. Eventually, we embarked on a research project that called out to the job market and candidates who we would typically be hoping to attract, and then also called out to our current Flight Center employees. And the aim of that process was to measure awareness levels in the job market for our employer brand, and then also rate our brand on different qualities so that we could get an indication of how the market perceives us as an employer. And that insight was particularly useful, was useful obviously across both segments, but we repeated the process for our current staff so that we came out with a view of both what the job market appreciates in an employer and then the reality of how our current employees see us and what we offer to them as current employees. From all of that data, we formed several analyses, which we then as a group discussed and had the aim of reaching a point where we had five key statements that firstly, the job market would resonate with. So essentially five things that people looking for a job would respond to from an employer. Secondly, those things also had to be things that our employees believed that we delivered. And then finally, things that our employees also value. So we landed with five key promises that are our employer value proposition, essentially. And they're the things that really inspire everything that we as a recruitment marketing team do. The first one is we have fun. Now, anyone who knows this business and has worked in this business knows that fun is probably one of the biggest draw cards for working here. It's definitely not like any other employer. The next is having a love for travel. So our business was started by a group of backpackers back in the 80s who simply wanted to explore the world more, and they figured out a way to fund that for themselves and bring other people on the journey with them. So that passion is part of everything that we do, and we look for people who have that same passion. Third is we use our smarts. Working in Flight Center is not like most day jobs. It's not repetitive. It's not standard. Every day is different. We're solving complex problems and delivering great solutions. And people who work here really enjoy that. The fourth one is we keep it personal. So in a world where travel is moving very much online now, you've got aggregator websites where you can book your travel. One of our key points of difference is that we're a personal service, and people who come to do business with us choose to do business with us because our service is still with a human. Finally, it's a career, not a job. So Flight Center has stories and like hundreds of stories who've been in the business for 15, 20 years, and they've been, you know, in frontline sales roles and moved their way across departments and even up the ladder and into executive positions. So it's the kind of world where you don't just enter and that's your job and you leave. You can really make a career out of it, and the company will help you get.
Nice. Instead of having the one overarching tagline or essence, if you like, you've got five different messages. Which one is the most popular one with both candidates and employees?
Look, I think the one that dominates is that we have fun. And that is one of the ones that lands us in I guess, the space of negative opinion. Having fun is not for everyone. And the way that we celebrate and have fun in the business is not for everyone. We're known for having lots of opportunities where alcohol is involved as part of our process of having fun. And, you know, that's not for everyone. As the business has matured and evolved over time, we've also brought in other ways to enjoy and have fun. So there's a lot of health and fitness initiatives who's involved in the business. There's a lot of programs to create communities within parental groups and support people, you know, starting families in the business. So become more and more diverse interpretations of fun over the years. But certainly that's the one that dominates. I think it is a real draw card for the people who choose to work here.
So let's talk about how you bring this EVP and the employer brand to life. What does the activation look like?
What our research revealed is that our employer branding efforts need to be activated internally more so than externally to meet our people goals. And what I mean by that is 95% of the people that we surveyed would accept a job offer from Flight Centre Travel Group. So we certainly don't have an issue with attracting people and their desire to work for us. But we do have a number of opportunities to shift current employees' perceptions on some of those factors that we see as our employer value proposition to ensure that we don't lose good talent over time and we retain our top performing people. So really, a lot of our efforts at this point in time really need to be focused on activating the brand internally. So we're doing that currently with a combination of brand campaigns and content marketing, both of which are always designed to bring our EVPs to life. In terms of campaigns, we've done three video campaigns in the last few months that focus, each of them focuses on an employee from the business that has a story that really delivers on one of the promises we make as a business. An example of that is Cherie Canning. So she's someone who's been with the company, I think, around 15 years. She started as a consultant, worked her way into becoming an area leader in charge of 30 stores and a couple of hundred staff. Through her personal life with her husband, she got married and was pregnant, and her daughter arrived prematurely. And through that process for her and her family, the business and the people within it really stepped up and overwhelmed Cherie with the types of support that they offered. Cherie now works in a flexible part-time role with the company, and I guess her story is really a demonstration of the kind of support that exists in the business and the type of career progression that there is. It's not just always up to the top of the ladder for some people. Career progression can mean the career moving with them through time and through their goals with their family. So that's one example. We've got two, three others that each demonstrate a different part of our value proposition. I probably won't take time up on the call going through them, but if anyone chooses to visit my LinkedIn at any point, they're all there attached to my profile if anyone wants to watch them. The other thing we are really focused on into the future now is content marketing and social proof. So we as a business can say as much as we want about what we stand for and what it's like to work for us. And we will continue to do that through our brand campaigns. But something that I believe is more powerful is if our messages come from real people. And I look at it like in a consumer world, when you're choosing to go somewhere new that you haven't been to, like a restaurant, or trying to find a new hairdresser or a barber, you reach out to your social networks, you read reviews, you look for other people's experience with those companies. So we're looking to do the same with our employer brand by harnessing brand advocates to really speak, I guess, from their perspective, but representative of their experience in working with us, bringing our EVP to life through them. We've partnered with a great content marketing agency that's helping us build an advocate pool. Those advocates will be interviewed and will generate their responses, and that content will be turned into short, medium, and long form articles, as well as video content. As well as aligning that to our EVPs, we're trying to align that to trends and topics that we uncover through social listening and through online research, so picking up what kind of keywords our candidates are utilizing in their search behavior and linking our content back to those trending topics.
Great. How do you measure the success or even the return on investment on the employer brand and recruitment marketing in general?
ROI measurement is a little way off for us, but there's certain things that we are monitoring that firstly are our goals, secondly are important to us and we're seeing a positive change in, and that's in direct applications via our owned channels. So we don't want to be in this space where we're addicted to application volume from things like job boards, where we have a really low conversion with great volume and our recruiters are really happy. They're sitting there processing lots of applications, but our conversion is really between 1% and 2%. What we're finding from our own channels, obviously, is we're getting between 10 and 20% conversion on those. So we see any increase in that space as a positive contribution to our return on investment. Naturally, as a result of that, we're seeing a reduced cost per hire. Our expectation is that this will continue to lower over time. Improvements in our online reputation. So we have, as I mentioned, a response and monitoring strategy in place, and we're actively driving our current employees to go to those channels to share their experience of working with us. So we're starting to see a shift in that space, and our aim is to continue to push that because it's quite an important part of the candidate's research process. The final thing I mentioned in terms of ROI, that employee engagement survey that we did in formulating our employer brand, we'll run that exactly 1 year after we first ran it, and we have four strategic objectives that we have in place as a result of that project, and we'll measure against those objectives in exactly a year's time and see how our effort over that year has contributed to any change on those metrics.
What would be your top tips to other employer brand professionals listening to this? And feel free to include any pitfalls to avoid as well.
Yeah, sure. So what I really believe in when developing an employer brand is ensuring that you get inputs from all levels in the business. Kind of being in workshops and being to events where I've heard of other employer brand processes. And what I really dislike hearing is a process that's entirely done from top level management. For me, that is really sort of so dangerous that just it's so far removed from what the reality of working in the business is. And an employer brand that is entirely based on that is in my view, it's only part of the story, and it's kind of doomed. So really, in my view, developing your employer brand, you need to collect insights from all levels of the business, and you need to ensure that what you're promising to the job market is true to what the majority of employees are experiencing in the business, not just a select few. Secondly, I'm a real believer in always looking back to your strategy. So our employer brand strategy sits in printed form in hard copy on my desk and my team members' desks. Anytime we brief in a new agency or someone to work with us, they get a copy of that. And any individual standalone brief that we send gets a summary of the key points from that brief. It's really important to share that and to hold people accountable to it. And anytime a new decision needs to be made, anytime you're reviewing a piece of creative or a new campaign concept, I think you have to ask yourself, does this piece of work bring to life an aspect of my EVP? Does it positively contribute to that message? And if it doesn't, something needs to change. The answer is really simple if you stick to that process. Finally, I would really encourage people to look to social proof and storytelling as a way of communicating brand. People, consumers, they don't want to be sold to. They want to be moved. They want to be entertained. They want to feel something. So to bring your employer brand to life through visual engaging content, and a lot of it that features real people actually living and breathing the experience that your business says it offers, is far more powerful than a glossy, shiny campaign video where the company voice is the only voice you hear.
Final question is, Dario, how can our listeners connect with yourself, and is there any way they can go to research the Flight Centre Group's employer brand?
Sure. So yeah, look, I'm always open to people connecting with me on LinkedIn. So you just search my first and last name there and drop me an invite. I'll be happy to see you. In terms of sharing our content, that's also the place where I share things as they're developed. So if you're interested in seeing how an employer brand is developed over time and the things that a company like ours produces in that respect, yeah, by all means, tune in over on my social profile and you'll see it there. You can also find links to our careers website and our company website there.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for your time today.
You're very welcome.
Okay, that's it, folks. If you enjoyed this episode, first of all, feel free to thank Dario. And of course, if you've got any upcoming flight requirements, you know where to go. Second, you may want to consider subscribing to this podcast at employerbrandingpodcast.com, as well as Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, SoundCloud, and other places. And if you really enjoyed it, please help us out by leaving a review on one of those platforms. And finally, if you fancy getting the scoop on your organization's reputation as an employer, perhaps the Employer Brand Index can be of help. Check it out at employerbrandindex.co. And that is it. I will be signing off for this week, and I look forward to catching up next time. Hey, doh!
I was in a job interview today when a manager handed me his laptop and said, I want you to try and sell this to me. So I put it under my arm and I walked out the building and I went home. Eventually he phoned me and said, bring back my laptop. I said, $200 and it's yours.